totally unprofessional making an apology through a statement through someone else. And, you know, the whole thing is just is egregious. People are suffering and have been suffering for over 36 years just because of the bond.
You're calling for the bones back?
The bones to the children...
We have 5 seconds.
That will be decided by their parents.
Mike Africa, I want to thank you so much. I'm Amy Goodwin with Juan Gonzalez.
And you are listening to WUSB. Stony Brook, the time is 6 o'clock. Time for another edition of Off the Wall. Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Wilson here with you. Joined tonight by Kyle.
Yeah, I'm here. Wow. I'm sorry I didn't hold the door for you when we were going up the stairs. It's been a long time since we've been back in the studio. And
it looks totally different.
It's totally different. And I just figured, I figured we would take the stairs because, I don't know, I heard rumors about the elevator working.
It doesn't work.
This is
we
all
knew it wasn't going
stuff.
To work. Yeah. It doesn't work. So
it's, matter, better, it's more exercise anyway.
Yeah. Probably. Bob Lohman looks different. What happened to him?
Yeah, that's a really long beard.
Huh. Well, yeah, so...
so much better than our remote location. Like, this works.
We're not fooling anybody, Kyle. We're still in the damn remote location. But radio, you can lie. You can lie on the radio and say things, and people might believe you. That's why being on the radio is a real privilege, because people trust you. I learned that early on. People trust you. What a weight on your shoulders that is. But, you know, it's true of any broadcaster, anybody, anybody entrusted with informing the public. You have an obligation to tell the truth. Except on April Fool's Day, but then, you know, people know what they're in for. But we've seen, oh my God, we've seen so much abuse of this over the past couple of years. I guess we have to address it because it's like a contagious disease. It really is. Because, you know, the more that you you tolerate lies and misinformation and dangerous calls to action, the more it becomes normal. And when it becomes normal, it becomes almost impossible to eradicate. And that's something that we really need to figure out how to do. Because, you know, we're in the middle of the pandemic is still very much with us. Don't be fooled. We still are flirting with the 30% fully vaccinated percentage of the population. And that's good. It's better than a lot of countries. I'd say better than most countries. But the thing that worries me, it's slowing down. And I'm hearing about people that aren't sure they're going to get the second dose. They got the first dose, not sure they want to get the second one. You know, it's not like a sample of ice cream where you try it once and you're not a big fan, you're not going to try it again. No, you need two of them or you might as well have not done the first one. It doesn't make any sense. That's the way the vaccine works. One dose, 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks later, the second dose. Or I know in Canada they're waiting even longer because of supply issues. But it's super, super important. And if we don't reach that 70, 75% vaccination rate at some point in the coming months, it's like we didn't do anything, you know, because so many people will still be walking around carrying the disease, and the disease will be happy and mutating and creating all kinds of 12-inch remixes that are completely immune to the vaccine. Yeah, and then you have this whole thing starting over again. So, you know, the people that are upset for some reason at the people that are following guidelines and encouraging others to get the vaccine, those are the people that we can point the finger at and say, you're extending this, you're making this last. When it doesn't have to. Right now, there are states that are turning back vaccine supplies because they don't have demand. That's insane. That is completely crazy. We should be, and you can do this now. As of Thursday, well, okay, so not now, but as of Thursday, anyone in New York, 16 and above, can just walk in for their COVID shots. Yeah, the state will be opening up its vaccination sites to all New Yorkers 16 and older. That means here at Stony Brook, right on Stony Brook Road, across the street, that new section, you can walk in if you're 16 or over and have not gotten the vaccine. Walk in and get it. You don't have to schedule appointments anymore. No more website. How amazing is that? So I expect to see long lines. I hope to see long lines. Well, not, you know, socially distanced long lines, but demand. We have to do this, or it's for nothing. And, you know, it annoys me so much to hear the ignorance being spread around about getting the vaccine. I mean, you hear ignorance about virtually every subject, I guess. But this is an emergency. This is a global pandemic. It's killed over 500,000 of our fellow citizens here in this country. What it's doing in India... It's horrible. They may well pass us for first place. Brazil, same thing. And these three nations have one thing in common. They have or had leaders that didn't take it seriously, that mocked it, that told their citizens not to worry, that encouraged violations of social distancing. And look what happened. You know, it was only 2 months ago, India said, the leader of India, the fascist Modi guy, said that we're past it. Yeah, we won. What an idiot. What a complete idiot. You don't get past something like that without taking steps. And they had mass rallies, they had indoor gatherings, and now the situation is out of control. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands of new cases every day. That could have been us. That could have been us if there was no plan to get that vaccine distributed. And there wasn't. As of the beginning of the year, there was no plan at all. All of this has come together so quickly, and it's really been a success story. But that whole success story can unravel if we're dumb enough not to take part and take care of ourselves. Now, Kyle, you got your second shot this week.
Oh, yeah.
What was that like?
I completed my vaccination process. I was just going to mention that it's an especially dire situation in India because it's a huge country. It'd be one other scenario entirely if this was like a small country that, you know, they're having some difficulties, but they're maybe an island or they're somehow, you know, not as populous, but they're having this incredible problem. India is a different story. It is massive. This is a lot of people, and for something like this to have been handled the way it was and to now be so out of control is a really, really big problem for that country, but the world as well.
Yeah.
And but as far as me, I just went to my wherever it was available, same place.
Mm-hmm.
And
now you went to a drugstore, so it's very different. Different what I went through with masses of people. But you went to a drugstore. I think there were just two other people there at the time, and it was in and out pretty much.
Right. Yeah. It's totally small, you know, and casual, I guess, is the word I'm reaching for.
Casual attire.
Right. It's not, but very quick. There's a lot of traffic, a lot of scheduling expertise. You can kind of sense it.
Mm-hmm.
It's at play. And that worked for my schedule. And as everyone should, if you're going to take the vaccine, do it wherever and as soon as you can and complete it. You know, follow the instructions. I you know, and maybe make a day for yourself to rest up a little bit.
Yeah, and, you know, talk to the people that are handling this, because they're going through hell themselves, but they're doing a great job. They deserve to be appreciated. And they have stories. They have been through this. Listen to what they say, because they know what they're talking about. Talk show hosts, you know, take them or leave them. But medical professionals, those are the people you need to listen to. They're the ones on the front lines. They've been on the front lines for over a year now.
I was listening to a totally different network. There's a progressive show on that. I'll say it's a satellite service.
You listen to satellite? Okay.
One of the common... It was really cool. Like, just same kind of talk that we have on community radio, and it is possible on those systems, but I'm not going to get into the details of that.
They cuss on those channels.
Or compare. They do. They can use the kind of language that the FCC wouldn't approve of, but... The point I heard that was well taken was that people like the commentators, the loudest speakers, are actually the most insulated from this virus.
Of course.
They're probably getting special access through private doctors. They've probably taken the vaccine even though they're deriding it. They're complete hypocrites, and they're serving narratives and political ends. And it's craven, it's selfish, it's... really, I don't know, just sinister to do that to others, to tell people that trust you. You started this show, like, trust.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, yeah, you live in a gated community, you go to work, you're in a bubble, you work for a broadcast station, you make all kinds of money, that is all of the things that are the layers that prevent you from having to go out and be in high-risk situations of all kinds.
But look who they modeled themselves after. Trump got the vaccine in secret. He didn't want anybody to know that he got the vaccine. Best doctors in the world, best medical care possible. And he's encouraging other people to risk their health, responsible for the death of hundreds of thousands, and goes and gets the vaccine, doesn't want anybody to know about that. And are we surprised that there are people on these right-wing networks that are acting in the same way? They're taking care of themselves. You better believe it. They're not going to get COVID. I mean, some of them are idiotic enough to not even take precautions themselves, but most of them do. Most of them are looking out for themselves and their families, but they don't care about their viewers or listeners or the rest of us. They want political points. That's what it's all about. This is not a political issue. This is not at all a political issue. You know, and I don't believe we are making it a political issue. If we're saying somebody is doing a job better than somebody else, that's just based on the facts of the situation. But this is not something that because you're a liberal or you're a conservative, you have to act one way or another. No, we are all people. And it's not just Americans. It's people throughout the world. We all need to be dealing with this. Now, you mentioned India's population, and it's huge. It's over a billion, I believe. A lot of people. Compare that to China, also over a billion, and how the virus was dealt with in that country. Yeah, it had its early days in that country, but boy, they got on top of it fairly quickly, and their death toll, nothing like our death toll, nothing like Brazil's or India's. There's something to learn from that. Quick response, taking it seriously.
And I think there's distinctions to be made, though. The type of economy, I mean,
of course, yeah.
The rise and where
it's a communist dictatorship. I know that it's
where
easier,
they are development wise
easier to control people. It doesn't mean though that you have to leave common sense outside. If you live in a capitalist society, you can still work together without turning into communist overnight. You have to stop fearing that. You know, we can all still act as one and maintain our individuality. And in a situation like this, that's what we need to do. You know, and instead of arguing all these points that have already been proven, wasting a whole lot of time, it's nonsense. The things I hear, you know, just tuning around, whether it's broadcast or cable or satellite, it's fiction. People upset because they have to wear masks? Really? That is the biggest problem in your life? How about the fact that you're not on a ventilator because of the fact that you've been wearing a mask for the past few months? You know, this is not something. I honestly do not understand what all this outrage is about. Yeah, you might hear conflicting messages. You know, the government might tell you something, and then they'll tell you something else a week later. It makes you think they don't know what they're doing. Well, you know what? Maybe they're learning as they go along as well, because this is an evolving situation. We've never been through anything quite like this before. And a year ago and change, we were told, don't wear a mask. We said that over the radio. Turned out that was wrong. Okay, that's how science works. You know, you believe something, evidence comes in, you change that belief, doesn't alter the threat.
I don't think we ever said you shouldn't wear a
mask. Oh, we did. Yeah, because we didn't mock people wearing masks, but we basically said that you should only wear a mask if you're sick. That's what we were told. We went into the other radio show, the other radio station, wearing masks as a joke, you know, because it was so bizarre and so unheard of. We didn't think it would ever come to that point.
It was a half joke.
It was a half joke.
At that point, we were pretty serious personally.
Well, of course, but we thought we were doing the right thing.
Because we had already been back from traveling.
But it doesn't mean we were lied to. It doesn't mean there's some conspiracy. All it means is that the data changed. We learned.
And I think what we were saying about not wearing masks was don't wear N95 masks that no one has in the health setting. That's since changed. That's another distinction with China. Like, they have a lot of equipment. Although India makes a lot of vaccines, they're blocked out from patents right now, and a lot of that is in
that has to change. If that is even still happening, you know, if you have access to something like that and you override the patents or the copyrights or whatever, you have the obligation to do that.
Sure, but that's placed China, I think, in a distinct category from India, because there's just certain things India doesn't have right now that China was able to do. Not, I'm not even talking about their structure of whatever their society is or is not. I'm just saying they took it seriously, they acted, they had the protective equipment, or at least they stopped selling it, and used theirs, and quickly went into trials and vaccines, and kept really tight control. But India did not have that kind of leadership. In fact, and of course, probably not as much of the manufacturing capacity, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's where I'm picking bones over the distinction. Point is, the leadership failed them. And it, as you said, very nearly could have been us. And
it would have been us. If things had gone a different way, and yeah, I guess I'm making a political statement here, but it's a fact. If things had gone a different way in November, we would have the same leadership we had last year. It would not be taken seriously. Hundreds of thousands more people would have died. Debate me on this. The facts speak for themselves.
Think about the kinds of... Think about the kinds of things we would be encouraged to do. They would be encouraged, the last administration would be encouraging all kinds of reckless stuff right now.
Of course.
I sometimes think about that. Like, what would be going on had it gone the other way?
Now, you know, do they deserve credit for spending the money to develop the vaccine? Of course.
Yeah,
but throwing money at something is only part of the solution. You need a plan for how to distribute afterwards. There was no plan. It could have been a complete disaster afterwards. Just add it to the list of disasters.
And don't forget, they all got it.
But now,
the White House.
Yeah, they did. They really did. but now the disaster is in our hands. We can make a disaster if we don't act responsibly. And I'm seeing too much of that. People not showing up for the second doses. People saying, oh, it doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to everybody. If your doctor tells you, do not get the vaccine, listen to your doctor, okay? And not a doctor of philosophy, a medical doctor, you know, somebody that you go to see. If they tell you your health is such that getting the vaccine is risky, you're one of very, very few people in the world, but listen to your doctor. Otherwise, get the damn vaccine and stop this nonsense, because if we fall short of the 70-75%, it's a big waste of time. And we're just going to keep going through this for years. And we're going to lose so many more people. Now, things were announced today as far as changes with the CDC and with Biden, basically saying that if you're vaccinated, you don't need to wear masks if you're outdoors in small groups or basically if you're talking, running, things like that.
Okay. So here's a scenario. I'm at a bar. I'm sitting outside.
Right.
But I'm at a small table. You just got some drinks, and you're running.
Why would I run with drinks?
Yeah, that's a good
I don't
point.
Do that. I'm very paranoid when I'm carrying liquid.
But you have a mask on because you knew you were going to run back with the drinks. No, that doesn't work.
That doesn't work at all. No. No, look, if we're outside in a small group, that's fine. You don't have to wear masks.
Okay.
And there are basically, they're saying it's okay to walk around town not wearing a mask. Okay, so I won't curse out all those people in Port Jefferson that aren't wearing masks. But here's the thing. That applies to people who are vaccinated. People who aren't vaccinated should still wear masks. Now, if you think all these morons that are saying vaccines are bad and we're being lied to, you think they might lie about having the vaccine and say, yeah, I got the vaccine. Yeah, I'm not going to wear a mask now. That's what the problem is. That's what the worry is, that people aren't going to be honest and they'll just willy-nilly spread the virus everywhere.
Yeah, I would agree. I've already seen this behavior, and there really is no way to know. The assumption is, okay, that person is behaving that way because they're protected, but it wasn't yet a policy. So I would say anything that I'd seen where people were walking without a mask or something like that, it was not a show of having been vaccinated. It was more a I think, an effect of this sense of loosening restrictions with, like, wedding venues and all the stuff that happened a couple weeks ago. I don't get the sense that people were... People have been walking around without masks outside in like Port Jefferson or one of the towns in Brookhaven or other parts of the island. I don't get they're doing that because they're feeling confident and exuding their participation in vaccines. It does not strike me as that kind of behavior. This is more about I can get away with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that kind of selfish attitude that you see is what's holding us up. You know, it's so little that's being asked. Not spending a cent to get it. How are your side effects from the second shot?
I felt heavy, like my limbs. You know, it was just like a little like weighted down.
Mm-hmm.
You
okay.
know, a little, and you know, typical soreness. But I used to get shots for like hay fever and stuff. So like pollen. So when I was little. So.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than
prefer
that.
Prefer to have COVID, Kyle, or is this okay? Can you live with this?
I would much rather this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and it's disappearing, too.
Yes, I think I'm metabolizing all the ingredients.
You know what that is?
In the vaccine.
That is your body working.
Yes.
That's you fighting this thing and knowing that you're going to be safe from it. So congratulations on getting both shots. Congratulations to all of our listeners who have done this so far. If you haven't done it, please, please do it. If you know people haven't done it, please convince them to do it. There is an infinitesimal risk. You have more of a risk of getting into a car crash on the way home from getting the shot than anything. Actually, a significantly higher risk if you drive on Long Island, especially. The thing is, how about being struck by lightning? That's more likely to happen to you than anything bad from the vaccine. And I think I can document those numbers. Pretty sure I can. And that's a significant. You know, if
it's a safety net, it's something that is going to protect you.
Uh huh. We're talking like something bad happened to about 10 people out of tens of millions, if not 100 million shots. You know, if you stopped. Think of gun violence. Think of automobile crashes. Think of people just falling down on their own. You know, all of that is more dangerous than what we're talking about here. It's going out and getting a shot and having something bad happen to you. It's so insignificant as to almost be negligible.
And I got to say, in light of all of that, mm-hmm. even with these policy changes, I'm still going to probably roll with my mask. It's going to be on me, and if
yeah.
if I'm out, I'll probably be wearing it. You'll probably see me driving. You'll probably see me walking with a mask on. That's fine.
I will,
it's
too.
It's my choice, and I don't feel comfortable yet. I just don't think...
But it's also, you're sending a message to other people, making them comfortable, because they don't know if you've gotten a shot or not. They don't know if you're contagious. They don't know if you're one of these people that doesn't care. But having the mask on, they're not going to worry. And when we get to the stage where... The majority of people have been vaccinated, you know, you won't worry so much seeing somebody coming towards you not wearing a mask. The numbers will be on your side.
I never like people looking in my face anyways.
No, but people do, you know, and it's just sad, but we have to even have this conversation. And all of what we're talking about right now, if you go back a couple of months, it's what we predicted. It's what was told to us. At every step of this, the science has predicted what will happen next, when the high points will be, when we might see improvement, what kind of a death toll we could be looking at if particular actions are taken or not taken. And the vaccine getting easier to get is something that was predicted, and the next challenge after that was convincing people to get the vaccine. That's exactly what's happening, too. So you better believe in other parts of the world, if the vaccine is available, people will be taking it. So as Americans, where the vaccine is readily available now, you damn well better take it.
Are you appealing to people's xenophobia?
Yeah, why not?
Take it before the rest of the world gets
it. I'll appeal to anything to get people to do this, absolutely. And I'll go further, too. If you hear people or see people in public forums saying irresponsible things, urging people not to get the vaccine or to do something equally stupid that will result in this virus continuing and to the detriment of the health of many of us, do something about it. call up the wherever you hear or see these people spouting forth their nonsense and get them in trouble as much as you possibly can. Boycott their sponsors or underwriters or whatever. Harass the hell out of them. They're doing the same thing to you, okay? They are responsible for what is happening in the future as far as the virus goes. If they're actually telling people not to behave in a safe manner. It's like, you know, if we went on the air and said, hey, it's okay to run out and play in traffic, kids, go right ahead and do it. Oh, what do you mean? It's free speech. I've got the right to say that. Why are you shutting me off? You're censoring me. No. It's called responsibility. You're in a position of responsibility. You have to act somewhat responsible. And talking about things you know nothing about, not relying on any scientific evidence whatsoever to spout forth with your nonsense, it is unforgivable. Do not forgive these people. Do not. Don't let them get away with it.
Absolutely. If it's your job prospects, if your family's been hit by this, if it's some philosophical freedom or specious liberty you're concerned about, you can thank these people that are telling lies on mass communication platforms and elsewhere. But the main thing is if it's friends or family or people just that you hear mm-hmm. trying to convince someone else or parroting stuff that is clearly misinformation from the internet or elsewhere, you just have to say three words. That's not true. Mm-hmm. One's a conjunction.
No, that's fine.
That is not true.
I'll allow it. That's
fine. Not true. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you have to say. I mean, it's a real problem right now because this is where the availability is sort of outpacing the demand. But it is still in discourse. It's, you know, people are scheduling, people are taking care of themselves in every way they can to get themselves covered and get out of the way, as I've said many times before. The point being that it is more likely than not that people that are on the fence are going to be listening ever more as those that are really demanding it are out of the way. So the people that may need a little extra encouragement or confidence, or they may need to hear that something is not true, they are the people that are next, that are you know, approaching this and maybe want and are looking and listening especially now. So to be a voice to just counter stuff that's plainly and flatly wrong,
mm-hmm.
People in the community, trusted individuals, whether you're a teacher or a mentor or a leader or a coach, anybody, if you have some kind of influence and you're hearing stuff that's just wrong, don't let it slide. Just say it isn't true. Tell people to find good information, to listen to the leadership in health authorities, NIH, CDC, as well as your primary physician.
But be careful of the phrase "do your research," because you know what that's fine. Research is great, but when people tell you to do your research, it basically is saying, you know, find what I am saying somewhere online, which you'll be able to do. You can find research for any crazy ass theory out there and point to it and say, ah, here's the evidence. But you know, I believe the people that specialize in these subjects, scientists, doctors, people who know what they're talking about, and they are practically unanimously saying the same thing. My doing research and looking online for some crackpot that says something to the contrary, that's not going to compare. That's not going to compare. I do not know anything close to what these people have researched for most of their lives. We need to listen to them. I mean, why wouldn't we? But what is their ulterior motive exactly? Do they cash in on the mask business? You know, do they hate restaurants? Well, what is it exactly that you think is going on? Makes absolutely no sense. And let me also say, you know, I know a lot of Republicans. I do, actually. I know Trump supporters. I'm happy to say that of all those people, pretty much all of them are taking the vaccine seriously. It's not a political issue, okay? We're not saying that Republicans or right-wingers are the people that aren't doing this, even though that's what polls seem to suggest. The people we know are completely responsible. And I'm proud of that. Regardless of who you vote for or what you believe in, if you basically have enough sense to take this seriously, then that's something good. And, you know, one of the craziest arguments I see against wearing masks, I haven't actually experienced this myself, but I've, you know, seen reports in the news of people that refuse to go into Walmart with a mask because they can't breathe with a mask on. You can't, really, so you have breathing issues to the extent where putting a simple mask on your face makes it hard to breathe. Can you imagine what being exposed to COVID-19 will do to you? Have you thought about that? And the fact that you don't want to wear a mask, that's exactly what's going to happen to you.
Technically, the N95 reduces the airflow by 50%.
Okay, don't wear an N95. Most people don't wear those unless they're in a hospital.
That's just the fact. I mean, it will reduce it by half, but it shouldn't make it impossible.
Okay, but that's not, Kyle, that's not what people get. They get the other kind. They only have names.
Well,
the cloth,
yeah,
ones.
KN95 or cloth masks.
Yeah,
yeah,
and
those
and
aren't even really sealing. Or the paper
masks. But they're enough to prevent you from picking
droplets.
It up in casual environments.
Right.
They are very, very helpful. I just don't want to confuse people with all the different numbers and designations and things like that. Yeah, N95s are the most effective, worn by professionals. I have trouble because they have two different rubber bands on them, and sometimes I tangle them up. But not everybody has to wear those. Most people don't have to wear those.
My point is that the restrictive, most serious ones, as far as filtration, only reduce it by about half.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're wearing a 3-ply surgical mask that has, like, giant holes on the side where your ear loops are, I highly doubt it's restricting it even 5%. I don't know.
Right, right.
It's just mainly for fluids.
You mentioned teachers. We should add them to the list as well. You know, we're talking about people on the radio, people on television, people on satellite, people on cable. If they're spreading misinformation or saying things that will put your health or the health of others who believe them at risk, you should do something about it. You should also do the same thing if you're aware of teachers that are doing this. And a story broke in the last day that is simply unbelievable. There's this school in Miami. Have you heard about this? Fashionable Design District of Miami. You haven't heard about this? Okay, well, I should warn you, Kyle, no cuss words on the radio, because when you hear this, you will want to say several cuss words. I know exactly which ones you'll want to say. But basically, this private school in the Design District of Miami, which is known as the Centner Academy, that's spelled C-E-N-T-N-E-R, they sent its faculty and staff a letter last week about getting vaccinated against COVID-19.
All right,
go ahead.
No, it just already sounds like a fake school. Like, just, I'm not buying it.
No, it's a real school. I wish it was a fake school. I really wish it was a fake school.
All right.
One of its co-founders is named Leela Centner.
Okay.
That's how they have that name.
So what do the notices say about vaccines?
Well, basically, you know, a lot of schools are sending these notices about vaccines to their faculty and staff, urging them to get vaccines. Not here, though. Not in Miami, Florida. Leela Centner informed employees with a very heavy heart that if they chose to get a shot, they would have to stay away from students. Yeah. According to the New York Times, an example of how misinformation threatens the nation's effort to vaccinate enough Americans to get the coronavirus under control, Ms. Centner, who has frequently shared anti-vaccine posts on Facebook, imagine that, claimed in the letter that reports have surfaced recently of non-vaccinated people being negatively impacted by interacting with people who have been vaccinated. No such thing. Never happened. Complete lie. But basically, she runs the school. So she gave employees three options. Inform the school if they had already been vaccinated so they could be kept physically distanced from students. Let the school know if they get the vaccine before the end of the school year, as we cannot allow recently vaccinated people to be near our students until more information is known. Or wait until the school year is over to get vaccinated. This is idiocy of the first degree. This school, again, the Centner Academy in the Fashionable Design District of Miami, needs to be shut down tonight because what they are doing is dangerous. Dangerous to students, dangerous to faculty, dangerous to the general public. They're spreading lies. They're spreading COVID. And this kind of thing does not stand. And if we allow them to keep getting away with this, we're complicit. The science is in. The facts are could not be clearer. And these people are in a position of trust, and they're abusing that trust.
What kind of bubble is she in that her belief from some post somewhere somehow stands apart from all of the other consensus? I mean, this, again, harkens back to the last
she did her
four
research.
Or 5 years.
She did her research, and she found
that one person in opposition somehow has more validity than consensus, even scientific consensus. Here, whatever her name is, Margie or Biff.
Leela.
She's convinced from some Facebook message or post or crackpot group that convinced her in some way apart and aside from consensus. Consensus from school districts around the country, from school nurses around the country, from health leaders. I mean, yeah.
Let me take exception to what you're saying, Kyle, and ask you if, because I would like to step in here as devil's advocate, perhaps. Are you aware of the power of the individual? One voice against the massive mob that's all saying the same thing. The Horton who hears a who. You know, the one individual person who's different from all the rest. Why do you hate that person, Kyle? Why? Why won't you let them speak?
Because they're wrong.
Oh. Can you prove that?
Yes, with science.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Really?
It's this thing.
Ah, I wasn't expecting that. Okay.
Yeah, there's a hypothesis. And then tests.
This is not an isolated instance. I wish it was. It's a crazy instance. We see Florida, and we all roll our eyes. But seriously, we're better than this. Yes, even in Florida, we're better than this. Please, please, let's not let this be accepted in any way. And also, here's another example. You might have heard about this from last night, what Tucker Carlson, that idiot, is doing on Fox News. Oh, my God. So he really has a bee in his bonnet about people wearing masks, and he decided to target kids yesterday. Yeah, he says the only people who wear masks outside are zealots and neurotics. And seeing a vaccinated person wearing a mask outdoors was like watching a grown man expose himself in public. And I guess he's seen that a few times, but that's what he compares it to. Yeah. Now, again, the guidelines were altered a bit today, saying if you're vaccinated, you're okay to walk around without a mask outside. But again, you don't know if the people walking around without masks have been vaccinated or not. You think Tucker Carlson, if he wasn't vaccinated, is going to put on a mask? You're going to trust him? So, yeah, it's still going to cause some unease because these people are causing unease. But certainly inside, it's dangerous enough where so many people still haven't been vaccinated that it's advisable for everybody to keep wearing masks. There is no logical argument against this. Anyway, let me continue with the idiocy he spouted. Your response when you see children wearing masks as they play should be no different from your response to seeing someone beat a kid in Walmart. Call the police immediately. Contact Child Protective Services. Keep calling until someone arrives. What you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it. My God. Now, this is somebody that, unfortunately, people trust. He's in a position where he speaks to so many more people than we will ever speak to, and many of them will do what he says. So now, he has basically set up a situation where kids are going to be confronted by strangers telling them to take off their masks. It's horrible. It is absolutely horrible. And to call the cops on the parents of kids who are wearing masks. First of all, I see kids wearing masks all the time, and it looks like they're the ones that want to wear masks because they have more common sense than a lot of the adults. They understand something about getting sick and what you have to do not to get sick.
Germs. They know about germs.
Yeah. Because they spread a lot of them as kids, and that's... Yeah. But... Oh, my God, can you imagine the trauma that kids are going to be exposed to?
Well,
having all these zealots running up to them saying, take that mask off, you don't know who that person is. They're getting loud in your face, they're calling the cops on you. This guy needs to be removed from Fox News immediately. If he is on the air tonight, we have failed.
Yeah, he should be canned for sure. He's ridiculous.
He should be canned and prosecuted for calling for this kind of action against innocent people that are trying to stay safe. That's all they are doing.
It was pointed out on some other stuff commenting. I was watching the stories and some of the opinions about this, and someone noted that the act of filing a false claim of child abuse is illegal.
Right.
So he's encouraging people to commit crimes.
So what's the charge against him? He's not the one calling the cops. He's telling all his followers to do that. And a lot of them will. I think he is culpable in all of that. And he should be held accountable. You know, we would never spread that kind of horrible rhetoric, getting people to do something vile like that.
And what's this, to what end, right?
Because he has a problem wearing masks? Yeah, what is going on here?
To be right. In his mind, in their mind, whatever you want to otherize it. But it is to be right about whatever it is. And defiant, whatever kind of antagonism is created, all of those things are the goal here, none of which is very constructive.
It's so sickening to see this kind of thing happen. I mean, he's crossed the line many times in the past with his, you know, white nationalism and racism and sexism and God knows what else. But this is something I just can't abide this. It's so offensive, so dangerous to be encouraging people to act against each other and to put kids in harm's way because of his stupid beliefs.
And to question parents, to militarize your audience to go out and question the parenting that is going on in the community around you.
Mm-hmm.
If I walked down to a park and started telling kids and parents how they should behave or how they should dress,
uh-huh,
words or actions that the kid or the parent should or should not, like, whenever is that okay for an adult to a strange adult to interject themselves into the parenting and the private choices that a family is making about the raising of their progeny. It's really none of his business.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty perverse.
And, you know,
it's real encroachment and the antithesis of anything they would ever want. Would they like others to come and tell them how to raise their children?
But look at the flip side of this. You know, we believe people should be wearing masks where it's been designated they should wear a mask. If you see somebody violating that, you know, we've never advocated calling the cops and traumatizing kids or things like that. We've advocated basically people as a community encouraging others to act responsibly, you know. And that might sound like some hippy-dippy communist stuff to the right-wingers, but that is how you deal with situations like that. You don't get cops involved. You don't scare people. You don't intimidate kids. It's sick what he's proposing here. And honestly, you know, he's got to be done there. And if Fox continues to let him spout this nonsense and harmful, you know, rhetoric that he puts forth every night,
we gotta
take them down somehow. We gotta take down Fox because they are dangerous if they're allowing things like this. And that might sound like I'm against free speech. No, I'm against abuse. Abuse and dangerous calls to action. You know, if we went on the air and encouraged people to light buildings on fire, that would be something that I would assume people would not tolerate.
We can encourage people to dissolve the Fox Corporation, though.
Yeah,
collectively. Let's dissolve Fox. We will liquidate it. It's done.
Put pressure on them. Put pressure on all of their advertisers. March on their damn headquarters. Go to every Fox affiliate. Let them know your opinions. And be loud. Be boisterous. But don't intimidate people. We never advocate that. But wow. I'm just blown away by this. Anyway, though, enough pretext. Let's get the show started. Oh.
Are there any stories?
Oh, my God. The show's almost over. this was meant just to be the first 5 minutes.
Oh,
but we have passionate feelings. I wanted to talk about all the horrible police actions against people of color in this country. You know, basically, it's gotten so bad that you could start a file on people whose last name is Brown that have been shot by cops. There's two cases going on right now. We might have heard of Andrew Brown, who was killed, shot 5 times.
In the back?
In the back. Well, that's the thing. I haven't seen the camera yet, and they're not releasing more than 20 seconds of it because they have to protect something, and I think it's basically protect their cops from being guilty.
It's not defensible.
Otherwise, basically, something was heard on the radio saying that this guy was shot in the back. And then the cops basically tried to say that he was shot in the head, making it seem like he was a threat. Well, it turns out he was shot in the back of the head. So there you go. Shot in the back of the head, like execution style, and 5 times overall. And this happened in North Carolina. They were serving a warrant for an arrest on drug charges last Wednesday.
Yet again, petty drug charges are a death sentence in this country, apparently. Got our priorities all messed up.
Uh-huh. Well, the family is trying to get the footage. They're trying to get the facts. But this sure does not seem like anything that is justifiable in any way. And it's disgusting to see this happen constantly. And then there was another case in Virginia. An unarmed black man shot by the same Virginia deputy who gave him a ride home an hour earlier. Yeah. Isaiah Brown, 32 years old, in critical condition now. He got into an argument with his brother, who I think wouldn't let him in the house, and he called the cops. Again, this is a case of him calling the cops. He was on the phone with the cops when they arrived, and they shot him. They shot him. You know why? Because they thought the cell phone was a gun. Yeah, it was a gun that he was holding up to his ear. Real threat to them. They said, drop the gun. What do you do if you're not holding a gun and someone says, drop the gun? What do you do? You know? I mean, that's not something that I can quickly say that I would figure out they must mean the cell phone. I'm going to drop the cell phone. You don't know what someone's state of mind is, but it sure seems like this person was doing everything right, and yet he still was shot. So there are cases like this, it seems like every day, and I don't know if it's the spring weather or what that makes cops want to shoot people, but we just keep hearing about more of them. And the circumstances just are completely unacceptable for a use of deadly force, even in situations where somebody isn't a model citizen. You know, you don't have to be a model citizen not to get killed by cops. But it seems like if you're black, maybe not. This situation is only going to get worse if it's not dealt with, if something decisive is not done. And that means a complete reconstruction of what police are in this country. That's what abolish the police means. It means abolish this.
What this tells me is, even if word went out that things are different, it's a new day, and really last week should have been it. So let's assume that that was it. What this tells me is that it will take a year, it will take 6 months, it will take 10 years. I don't know, but it will take an appreciable amount of time for the echoes and the unlearning of the behaviors that we're at the effect of now. It will take that amount of time for all of that to ever disappear, if it does. And that actually will take that systemic change in whatever we're imagining for ourselves in the future now. But these, just that there are trials going on and that these interactions were occurring in the same time, just is, even if there was, that this was in the discourse and well known, that the police cannot get out of their own way.
All right, we'll have more to say about this in future weeks for sure. One thing that we want to announce before we leave tonight, because we're actually at the end of the show now. Today, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone announced a new measure to ensure the safety of bicyclists while out in the roadways. You know, you might have heard a couple of towns are cracking down on those kids who ride bikes in the street and taking their bikes away from them. They went a different way in Suffolk County. Basically, this is the first of its kind, as far as laws in New York State, requires drivers to pass on the left and provide bicyclists with at least 3 feet of space when passing them on the same side of the road. And violations of that law are punishable by a fine of $225 for the first offense, $325 for the second offense, and $425 for any subsequent offenses. But by that point, I think you should be taken off the road. So, yeah, that's a great step for bicyclists, safety everywhere, and congratulations to Suffolk County for getting that right. Super
yeah.
important.
6 feet behind, 3 feet on the sides. Definitely watch out for bicyclists. It's that time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good step. You gotta protect people on the two wheels.
We have a remix of this. But yes, get out there, be safe, wear a helmet, watch out for cars, watch out for other cyclists. It's springtime. We'll be back next week with another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Write to us, otw@2600.com. Stay tuned for Finn here on WUSB.
See ya.
Good night.